call the House Finance Judiciary, Finance Committee for the University Budget to order, and I will announce that Representative Mike Miller will be here in a few minutes. His last two days are going swishy-swashy with different meetings, and I apologize for being late, too. With us today is Representative Jim Duncan, and my name is Terry Martin, representative from Anchorage and chair for the University Budget. We've tried a few times to visit your campus, but every time we made dates, things went astray and we couldn't get out there. I had been to the campus 3 or 4 times because it's a pretty location, if nothing else. And I was hoping to get a lot of our new legislators out there, so maybe with the cooperation of Dr. Paradise, if you don't give up on us, we can get some of the new legislators out there someday to see your campus, and I think that really has its positive benefits. Generally, what we want to do today is to look at the proposed budget, not only from the university's point of view, from the governor's point of view also, and then just listen to general concerns of the university from any point of view and get your comments on what you feel we should be interested in, knowing that this year here we will have some really hard decisions to make. And that's told Representative Miller and Representative Ringstad, who are the 3-member committee from Fairbanks, that my bottom line is I will try to fight for anything that the university needs as long as we can see a direct relationship in reaching more students and in degree credit hour production. This is my bottom line. How high we will go on that, I don't know. The budget right now asks for $14 million in increments. The governor has given us nothing in increments. We have a bare-bone necessity of $3.5 million that we feel is absolutely minimum that the university needs to survive. And hopefully from the cooperative effort of the legislatures and the really positive attitude I think the legislators have in developing a good university system, we can probably get at least $6 to $7 million in necessary appropriation for the university. So with that optimistic note, I'd like to leave the floor open to Dr. Paradise, and then we'll go through the procedure that he gave to us for the testimony of different people. Good afternoon, Chancellor. Good to see you.
Chairman Martin, good to see you too. I'm sorry that you didn't make it to the campus, but we will try again. I had written outlined a long-winded speech, but I understand you have constraints on your time, and I have asked our people to be as brief as possibly, so I'm going to be very briefly too. The thing I would like to press upon you, sir, and the members of the committee, Representative Miller and Representative Ringstad, good afternoon, Representative Duncan, Representative Miller, is the newness of UAJ. UAJ is not a mature institution. It's a brand new institution. Actually, it is only 3 years old, not quite 3 years old in the form it is today. As you know, it was 2 different institutions before, and now it has become a single institution. And in that form, as a full-fledged 4-year campus, has been in existence less than 4 years, and less than 3 years. Therefore, it has to be handled as a developing institution and not as a mature institution. A developing institution demands and needs resources that a mature institution does not. It's just like a state. When I'm down in the south, my friends tell me about the wealth of Alaska. Well, the wealth really is not exactly in the way they perceive it, because the other states have the infrastructure, have the roads, have their water systems, have everything in place. And it does not take as much money for them as it will take for Alaska to put that infrastructure on and to see that we are having the same, as citizens of the state, the same privileges and the same services that the other states do. So even though we have a lot of money, that does not mean that we are rich, because we are not until we have those services in place. So the same thing with developing institutions. It takes much more money. It takes many more resources than a mature institution. In addition to this, in Alaska, we seem to have done things entirely differently or backwards than the other states have in higher education. In other states, when a new institution was opened, first, the facilities were hired, the key faculty were hired to develop the programs and the facilities, and then the students were admitted in. In our case, we seem to admit the students first and then worry about facilities and faculty and so forth. That really puts an extra strain on all of us, the faculty, the administration of the university, as well as the students, because they don't have the facilities that they deserve and the services that they should have as an institution of higher education. Let me make two more points, and then I will let my colleagues follow. The budget of UAJ is developed as democratically as possible. Sure, the top management does make the final decisions, but the input is from the faculty, goes to the deans, to the directors, and goes to committees. We had two public hearings, one on campus for our faculty and staff to have input, as well as the students, and one in town so the general public could have input in the formation of our budget. The other point I would like to make is this, that last year, well, in regard to that, I would also like to add that last year, the Board of Regents felt that the University of Alaska Juneau needed a large infusion of monies in order to get accreditation. They approved for us $2.3 million. The legislature, in its wisdom, appropriated more than half of that, $1.140. And yet this year, we are coming in with a budget that is even less than that. So we don't even cover what we did not get last year in the budget. Our budget this year is, total budget is $898,000.1, the operating budget. The very last point I would like to make is this. It's not just Juneau. It's not just Juneau that has the needs. Anchorage does, Fairbanks does, the community colleges do. So what I would like to leave with you is the fact that the University of Alaska as a whole needs the resources, and I believe it deserves to have the resources to operate as a quality university.
Thank you, Chancellor. Is there any questions? Lieutenant Duncan, Lieutenant Miller?
No, right now, no.
Before I get into it. Yeah. Doctor, one of the questions I had is on our master plans for CIP. I notice we have campus development needs and assessments. $150,000. Last year, the comprehensive plan that you had, it was approximately about $50 million, wasn't it, the core work that you wanted done last year that wasn't approved. What would the new, what would result from the $150,000 in the development needs plans this year?
This is for next year's budget that we have, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Beginning from the federal.
The $150,000 is there for the central office to make the comprehensive, to work on the comprehensive plan. Although it is budgeted for us, it is actually goes to the planning office, the central office, to do the planning for us.
And the only, I know what your other CIP needs are, and part of the rationale that I was talking about previously with Representative Miller was to try to emphasize as much as possible the reason why we need to support the university and their needs and CIPs and increments. What is the future that you feel for next year? How many students with the minimum budget that we can reach, new students and perhaps even degree credit hours, with the increments that are now allowed for the university, or at least suggested, I say, on the university budget?
Chairman Martin, when we did not receive accreditation 2 years ago, we put a freeze on our programs. We have not added another program. As a matter of fact, we have eliminated 3 programs. We suspended 2 programs after we failed to get accreditation, and we put a bit of a freeze on new programs. It is it will be difficult for me to say how many more students. We have to realize that we have increased our student population in Juneau has increased in the double digits for the last 4 years, except last year. And the reason that it did not, or rather, from year ago last fall to last fall, and the only reason that we did not show a significant increase, we showed an increase, but not a significant increase, is the fact that we lost the jail program, and that then took quite a few students away from us. But even so, we showed an increase in our student population. I think, and I'm not taking a long way of answering your question, but what I believe is this, that with the present faculty that we have, we could accommodate more students. However, we don't have the facilities. Right? We don't have large classrooms. Yeah. To do the things that if we had better facilities, we could have done. What we are asking, Chairman Martin, what we are really asking are, in this year's budget, are items that really, again, try to help us to get the quality of the institution in a higher level so we can get accreditation. So it is not a matter for us how many more students we accommodate. It's a matter for us how good we are going to be, how good we are going to look. We are good. You know, believe me, we are a good institution now. We have a quality institution, but we got to make sure that the people who are going to visit us see that we are a good, that we are a quality institution. And part of that is the additional faculty that we are asking and the additional services that we are asking.
I know some of the basics that you do have, foreign language instructions and marine technology instructor and things like that, and I didn't know from my perspective how you program that. If we have a marine technology instructor, that means X many students will be able to reach or what?
No, this is correct. We have a cooperative program with the public schools. By the way, we are trying. I have thought about a lot of things to talk to you about it. But and one of that was the cooperation that the UAJ is developing with other entities, both in educational and non-educational, in order to be able to be more efficient and more effective. And in that cooperative agreement that we have with the public schools, so we won't have to build a lot of shops, and they won't have to do the same thing too. We can complement each other, so to speak, in the development of vocational laboratories. And in that agreement, part of that is for us to provide certain things, and they're going to provide other things, mm-hmm. and that is part of that agreement.
Mike? Just one, it's almost a comment, but I'll phrase it more like a question. I was really pleased the other day to hear President Barton, speaking for our subcommittee, and said that he envisioned UAJ literally as a world-class fishery school. Mm-hmm. And do you feel that's coming along? How are you doing in that?
I think we are coming along in that direction. As you probably know, another thing I was going to talk was the mission of the university at Juneau, as well as the mission of the other entities of the university. The UAJ campus has been designated as the primary Sea Grant institution campus in the state. So in that respect, we are coming that direction. However, let me also add another comment to President Barton's comment, that the University of Alaska in Juneau expects to be a quality, world-class fisheries institution. At the same time, we also have the other part of our mission. We got to provide for the needs of the people in Southeast Alaska and in other areas of education. And although they are limited, and we have a limited program, we don't expect to have a large amount of programs like the other two campuses have or will have. Still, there are basic programs that we have to provide here. The liberal arts is an example, and as part of the liberal arts and music program, the business, the public administration, the basic sciences. If you don't have the basic sciences, you don't have a good officials program either. All these are part of UAJ, and we hope that we will be not only a world fisheries, a world-class fisheries institution, but also a very good, a very high-quality institution in the other areas that we have here. And we don't, again, we know UAJ cannot be UAA in terms of size and expect to have the same programs and other programs or UAF. But for the programs that we're going to have, we would like to be, have quality programs here to serve the people well.
Thank you, Dr. Paradis. Thank you very much, sir. Next person that we'd like to hear from is Dr. Beverly Beaton, Vice Chancellor, Academic Affairs.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chairman Martin, Representative Miller, Representative Duncan. I want to personally thank you for this opportunity to appear before you today to talk about our budget request for FY84. The academic deans and directors will follow me, and they will address the specific aspects of our request for increments. As you may know, I'm new to the campus, and I would like to devote a few minutes to some general comments, if I may. Exactly 1 month ago today, I arrived on campus. I arrived in Juneau. And I think I've made some observations in that very brief time about the institution, where it is now, and what its future is, which may be of interest to you. As the Chancellor said, the institution is young and it is developing. It is an institution which offers bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and associate degrees. But I think the developing aspect of the institution cannot be emphasized too often. We serve a student body here in Juneau and the Southeast region, which to date has primarily been a part-time student body. People who have full-time commitments elsewhere in their employment, at home, that allows them only to attend the university on a part-time basis. We have shown a significant increase in the last year in full-time enrollment, and that is one of our goals, is to increase the number of people seeking an education at the University of Alaska Juneau on a full-time basis. As the Chancellor mentioned, we've recently had our mission clarified and refined. And from my perspective as the academic officer, that's going to be very helpful as we work to refine, limit, consolidate our curriculum. We have a clear focus now. As you mentioned, Representative Miller, the university is going to be a world-class fisheries institution, as you stated. We're also concerned with other renewable resources. We're concerned with professional education, and education, business, and public administration. Underlining all that, of course, is the arts and sciences, liberal education. And we have, in our community college component, a strong vocational education program, too. So we're working with all of those pieces now and going back and looking at our curriculum in light of the new mission. Through all of it, we're concerned with excellence. The university is good, but we must constantly strive for excellence. My initial observations when I visited the campus in December and upon my arrival a month ago is that there is a quality faculty there now. It's not large enough, but it is a good faculty, and there are quality programs. This is not my observation alone. The accreditation team, when they prepared their report, they did know very clearly that we need additional faculty and we need to develop our programs. However, they were very clear to say that the quality of the faculty that is on campus at present is very good. They urged us to utilize part-time faculty less. We have relied a great deal in some areas on part-time faculty. They urged us to try to focus and select more full-time faculty. They did recognize that we would, being a small institution and being in an environment where we have talented people, continue to use part-time faculty, but on a more limited basis. I think overall the accreditation questions are questions of size, if you will. Questions of the size of the library, how many volumes we have in the library, what kind of access we have. Do we have the library to support the fisheries program that we're talking about? Do we have the library to support a public administration, a business program? We have a good start, but we don't have an adequate library. We need greater depth, more faculty members, and more full-time students to have the size program that the accreditation team was looking for. We are addressing these problems by carefully selecting areas of growth, by developing a very clear general education core, by developing transfer policies so that students can easily move from and to our institution from other institutions in Alaska. And as the Chancellor mentioned, we're developing cooperative programs to share facilities and faculties, all efficiency and economy moves. As part of our dedication to excellence, I am particularly concerned that we develop quality control and review processes. We are doing that in the area of program review and faculty development. I want you to hear from the deans. They're the ones that make the institution go. But before I close, I'd like to make a couple more general remarks. We're all concerned about the price of oil, and I hope that even if the price of oil does decline, that the quality of education in Alaska will not decline. The people of Alaska are our most important and most precious resource in the long run, and we at the University of Alaska Juneau are prepared to help the population prepare for the jobs, to develop Alaska. We are prepared to help people enrich their lives and get degrees. I thank you for this time. Each dean will introduce himself or herself before they make their comments. After they have done so, we'll be glad to amplify on any aspect of our comments or to answer questions for you.
Thank you, Dr. Beaton. Milton Miller, I represent Duncan, if you have any questions. Welcome to beautiful Juneau. I did want to throw out one suggestion. I think I've learned this from the previous predecessor that had this position last year and the year before. When it comes to a rock and a hard place, we like to throw it back to the chancellor or to his staff to make the hard line decisions. And I noticed in the governor's budget, there's only three positions so far that have been approved of the number of positions that you all felt were needed. And this is not unusual from the governor's point of view this year. In all of the universities, the only thing that they did improve or approve was those positions where other funds were the source of revenue. They increased nothing, approved nothing on the general fund, which is a complete change from the past. And I think that we can work it out that the legislators, through general fund revenues, fulfill a certain position, but I think that what we're going to need, we can't fill everything. We've just got to be straight with everyone on that. But we'll push real hard to get your priorities, your top priorities. In this case here, if the governor approved those three positions because of other funds, then if you all would later get back together and go to the School of Hard Knocks and saying, hey, we know what the bottom line is, where are we going to make our decision? And of course, Representative Mike and myself and Representative John up north mentioned that we want to do all we can to reach more students and increase degree credit hours. So from that baseline, if you could help us, we'd appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you. That's our objective, too.
Thank you, Dr. Mason. Next person I'd like to speak is Mr. Harry Keem. Is that Keem or Keim? Okay.
I represent the service arm of the university here in Juneau. I am not a dean. I'm the vice chancellor for administrative services. I guess I'm also one of the older members of the UAJ community. So I guess if anyone wants to ask some historical questions, I would attempt to answer them for you. I would like to break this into two parts. The first is under the operating budget, and I'm just going to talk about the one request that we feel is a very critical and essential need. As you're probably aware, or you may have seen the new building being erected across from the high school, that is our new Marine and Technology Center. It is going to be approximately 29,000 square feet. We are hoping that it will be open by June 1 of this year, 1983, and we're told they're within days of hitting us at this point, and barring any unforeseen problems, we'll be there and ready to go on June 1. It also represents something unique as far as it is a cooperative agreement between the school district here in Juneau and UAJ. And as Dr. Paradise has mentioned before, it represents an attempt by both the school district and the university to minimize the duplication of facilities. So this is going to be bridged by a pedestrian overpass, and what we're asking for is $135,900 for opening and utilizing this facility. And
excuse me, so sure. The 135.9, is that for the overpass or for the opening?
No, that's for opening up of this facility, the utilities, the maintenance personnel,
okay.
A person to handle inventory and equipment repair, and those kinds of costs. Mm-hmm. That's the first and highest priority at UHA this year in the operating budget. Then I would like to then address the capital budget. The first item under the capital budget was for the academic and campus master planning, $150,000, which you had asked some questions about. And this would be handled by the regional architect and planner, and they are out of the statewide operation. And basically, it's to plan for the limited amount of land that we have, which is very critical that we plan it properly so that we can utilize the space as best as we can. So we need to have soil analysis and survey work and all kinds of things done in order to determine the exact placement of buildings, in order to handle the areas that we need for parking. And we also need to take into consideration the impact that it will have with the city and borough and also utility companies. So all this is going to go into this campus master plan, and of course on the other side is the academic master planning that is needed. The next area is under general repair and renovation. There are three items under here. The first is vocational education shop and equipment for $800,000. It's approximately 3,000 square feet foot building, and again, it would be down here, what was used to be called the NC property and what we're going to call the Marine Center. And it will be for General Metals, and it's again in cooperation, in the cooperative agreement with the high school, and that we're to provide this facility. And then, of course, they're going to provide other facilities. The next area would be remodeling of the counseling and admissions office for $68,000. Here we've had difficulties. Here we have counseling offices that are open and to the general office area, and it's very difficult to counsel students and take care of their individual needs in the financial area, in the mental health area, and another in the academic areas as well. This area was originally built for classrooms, and we have done some remodeling, and this $68,000 would just be utilized to completely remodel this area so that it can be used for these two offices. It will also facilitate the computer-based online registration system that we're anticipating on doing in approximately 1 year. The next area is $367,000, and it's just labeled UAJ Repair and Renovation, and it's several small projects. One is a sprinkler system for two buildings on campus that we do not have any sprinkler fire system for the Whitehead and the Botany area. We also have one roof that really needs desperately to be replaced, and that is included in here. We also have boiler repair and electrical upgrades, and whatever would be left would be utilized for additional parking. And if any of you have ever been on our campus after, like 4 in the afternoon, there is no parking anymore. We just cannot accommodate any more cars. So we're hoping to alleviate that problem also. These items that I have listed here are included in the $20 million that, as I understand, the governor has tentatively suggested be approved for the university. There are several other projects that are not in any governor's approved budget as of yet. The next item is called essential equipment, and again, it's for the Marine and Technical Center, $500,000. We will open June 1. We need desperately to get upgrade our equipment, especially for safety, and because high school students are going to be in these class areas, we need to have really good equipment in order to handle that. It's for marine carpentry, automotive, and diesel. The next area is for library material and media equipment, $194,000. This is to purchase microfilm and equipment. And then one of the areas that was hit pretty hard in the accreditation report was that we relied too heavily on interlibrary loans, especially in the periodicals area. So what we're attempting to do with these funds would be to purchase 20 years of back files for approximately 600 periodicals. And the accreditation team felt that this was needed, especially for research and graduate work. Another request is under equipment called Fine Arts Equipment, $186,000. And this is to cover lighting, stage equipment, sound systems, pianos, visual art equipment for an area that will be remodeled this summer. And it's very critical for this program in the liberal arts area. The last area is under fisheries research and equipment, and we've asked for two items here, $175,000 for the seawater circulation system phase two. And this basically is just to finish up. We are completing phase one now, and we did not have enough money to award the complete bid, so we awarded just the first phase. The second phase is just to finish the saltwater system up. And the other item under fisheries was for equipment needs of $210,000. There were certain pieces of equipment that were, again, mentioned in the accreditation report and is deemed essential for the fisheries faculty to have in order to conduct both their classes and their research projects. Those are the capital items.
Thank you. I was just having a little problem. I've shown Dr. congratulations. Representative Miller, I know in the master plan from the university that they did list that as number one critical need, the $135,000.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I can get a hold of Mrs. Redman later and we'll find out and be sure that's in the governor, because I don't see it unless it's hidden in the group. We'll make sure that's in there.
I don't believe it would be, because that would be the first increment in the list for UAJ, but it would not at this point be in the critical or in the governor's.
I thought you mentioned that it was in the governor's budget.
No.
As you said, okay, no. Fine, that's what had me going to say.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Did you have a question? Yeah. Thank you very much, sir.
This person, this is Dr. Cassell, Marina Cassell. Probably killing that first name, if not the last name.
I'd like to talk to you about the second priority on the low table on our list of priorities, which is faculty student development. The major portion of that is for faculty development and research funding. Both faculty development and faculty research require at least minimal funding, and that's really what we're asking for here is minimal funding. If you know anything about research projects, you know that the total sum that we're requesting would be less than many research projects. What we're requesting is an amount to be used as a competitive fund for faculty development and research. This means that the faculty must compete with their peers for funding for their research and development projects. We know that in a lot of cases this will simply be seed money, but it will at least give them a start towards research. We believe that this will improve faculty morale, increase faculty currency in their field, and help us to recruit and maintain a high quality faculty. The ultimate goal, of course, is better quality instruction. One of UAJ's strengths and weaknesses is its small size. Our size allows us to provide closer contact with students, but on the other hand, our size means that there are often no times when a faculty member can interact with anyone in his own discipline. In many cases, we have but one professor in a particular discipline. Anthropology, history, some of the fisheries, certain areas of business are all examples of this phenomenon. We're principally a teaching institution, but the quality of college teaching is improved by the participation of faculty in research and development activities. And this is particularly true for the upper division and graduate areas. The second part of this increment is student development. UAJ has a learning center on campus, which we provide to help students entering college without the necessary basic skills attain those basic skills. Currently, this center consists of one room with one instructor who has as many as 2,000 contacts per year. And one instructor can't be an expert in both the basic math skills and the basic English skills. So what we're requesting here would be an additional instructor for the basic English skills, since we've been concentrating on the math skills up to this point. I think that's basically it.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Castro. Any questions from the panel? Now we're getting in line. Thank you very much. Dr. William Demott.
I'm not planning on talking very long, but I've been sitting there for a while, getting a little thirsty.
You're thirsty listening.
Yeah. I'm not going to be talking very long about our budget, but before I start, I would like to mention a couple of things, if I might. One is that I've gone through the educational process in southeastern Alaska as someone born and raised in southeast, and I wasn't permitted initially to go to a public school. I eventually had that opportunity. Second, I had to leave home to go to high school, and third, I had to leave southeastern Alaska to go to college, and in fact left Alaska to go to college. And it's fairly exciting to me as someone who has gone through the process to see the development of an institution like the University of Alaska-Juneau. the Center for Teacher Education, we're asking for $50,000 for one elementary education faculty position, primarily to meet accreditation and team recommendations that ask us to reduce the heavy workload of academic faculty. Second, to move toward meeting state requirements for certification of early childhood education professionals, recently adopted by the State Department of Education but not yet enforced or required, to reduce the number of part-time instructors involved in meeting the demands of Southeastern Alaska programs in Juneau and other communities in the area who have generally been hired through soft money from federal and state sources, and those sources are no longer available. We believe that it's a very important part in the educational sequence because of its impact on influencing the academic achievement level of students. And we want to continue existing levels of cooperative or coordinated activities with private nonprofit organizations and groups in the offering of these programs, and that includes Native organizations for early childhood focus in Juneau and other communities in Southeastern Alaska. Basically, that's it.
Thank you, Dr. Demmer.
No, that's pretty helpful.
One question I did have that's going to come up eventually, and I think you are an example of my point of view that I'm worried about the student loans being given directly just to Alaskan graduates, although I can wave the great banner for Alaskan high school graduates as much as anyone else. I don't know if that's necessarily the right way to limit our student loans. From your experience, sir, do you think that there'll be any significant group of people that may be deprived of post-secondary student loans if we have that as a limit provision?
I'm not sure I could haven't given it, you know, that much thought since it's a fairly recent position, at least a formal position that's being presented. I think it is important for the high school students to have that opportunity. In the back of my mind, it seems to me it's important for individuals who are moving to Alaska because they like Alaska, rather than moving to Alaska because they want an opportunity for a free education.
Mm-hmm.
So I realize that's part of the dilemma.
And I would like to be selfish like that, too, but I'm mainly afraid that it hasn't been too long before we did not have higher education institutions in the rural area, and a lot of those students like yourself had to go out of state. I just wonder in my mind how many we would be deprived of Alaska's own native people.
I think it's probably more important to give our graduates an opportunity to go to college where they feel they're going to get something that is important to their particular field, academic field. In some cases, it's Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and on occasion, it's outside that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Demmer. Yeah. At this moment, I'd like to introduce a gentleman I should have introduced previous, one of the new members of the Board of Regents, Mr. Gordon Evans.
Yes.
So, Juneau's own is right here. The next gentleman would be Dr. Phil Hawker.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Phil Hawker. I'm the Dean of the School of Education and Liberal Arts. I, like Harry, kind of been here for several years. This is my ninth year here in Juneau with the university, and I've seen it go through a lot of changes, and I think that we're a good deal better now than we used to be, and I think that the evolution of the original two-school system to what we have now has been a real improvement, and I think the community appreciates it. And what we need now is just to develop that core program to respond to the needs, both the general university needs of any university and then the special needs of Southeast. Our request from the from the School of Education and Liberal Arts, in addition to the instrument that Dr. Dimmer just presented, includes two faculty positions, one in visual arts and one in foreign language. And we're not asking for any new programs, but rather really just building our liberal arts faculty to have a full-time faculty person where none exists in the case of the foreign language position, and to round out our core of visual arts faculty in the case of the visual arts position. We currently have two visual arts faculty.
This position also will provide us with a way in which we can complement our existing teacher education program at the secondary level, because we'll be able then to better respond to the need for a program for teachers who want to, for people who are preparing to teach in the secondary schools in the visual arts. We also will be better able to respond to the cooperation request that we have from the fine arts community here in Juneau and in the Southeast. As you all know, it's this area is kind of becoming an arts center for Alaska, and we see ourselves having some responsibility for being a leader in that area. And certainly in any university program, there should be a strong liberal arts component, and that liberal arts core curriculum is certainly a major component of our mission for UAJ. We are also asking for a foreign language faculty member, and this, as I said, will be our only full-time foreign language person. We currently offer four foreign languages on our campus, French, Spanish, Russian, and Japanese, and they're all taught by part-time faculty. Because of the nature of the way in which we employ part-time faculty, and because of the availability of part-time faculty who can teach in the foreign languages, we have not been able so far to offer much in the way of any kind of intermediate or advanced level languages, and this position would allow us to do so, and also to provide a better focus in the Pacific Rim languages, which we believe will complement our fisheries and business curriculums, and which this person, if we get it funded, would do the coordination of and do the instruction in. We also need this position to round out our communications emphasis for the Bachelor of Liberal Arts degree, and would also enable us to respond more completely to the requests we have for outreach courses in the Southeast area. As Vice Chancellor Keim reported, our capital budget also contains one increment that would provide equipment for the fine arts, and he's gone over that pretty well. I just would point out that that also was an accreditation concern, not that we were deficit at the time they visited us, but that was in our plans to provide a better facility and equipment for the fine arts. And what their statement in the report was that they supported our request and felt that that would give us a viable program. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, gentlemen?
Yes. Without going into a lot of detail, I wonder if you could, perhaps I should have asked this of Dr. Demmert as well, what is the difference between the school of, or the director, Center for Teacher Education and School of Education?
The school that the Center for Teacher Education is located in is the School of Education and Liberal Arts. It's one component of our school. So, the school contains education as well as social sciences, communications, and the fine arts. Organizationally, that's the way it fits in the structure.
I see. So it's the education component within the
school education and liberal arts.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Doctor, one of the questions I had concerned about is the foreign language faculty, and the reason it wouldn't have concerned me had I not just finished reading the report by the post-secondary commission. They gave us a draft report 2 weeks ago when we had a hearing with them, and the final report this morning. And what they did is listed of the 365
programs in degrees, certificates, masters, bachelors, whatever we have. They listed of that 365, 79 programs as underachieving a minimum goal of at least 4 graduates over the last 4 academic years. And one of them I was really surprised to see was foreign language. And I think we had 2 graduates in bachelor's degree in the past 5 years, which really snowed me. I thought we had a better deal going than that. And yet, in your case here, we see the your institution here feels we need that position, and maybe you have will have better results down here in reaching many people because of the commercial trade you have with fishing. Is there any indication of how many more people you may be able to cater to if this position were filled?
Well, first of all, we don't have a foreign language degree program here, mm-hmm. nor do we have we don't even have a major or minor in foreign language. Mm-hmm. We are offering foreign language for 2 reasons. One, because foreign language really is a basic component of a liberal arts education, and we have allowed for the inclusion of foreign language in our communications emphasis for the Bachelor of Liberal Arts degree. We don't intend to offer a degree in foreign language. We don't have any plans for that at the present time. The other 2 campuses, I believe, do, but we don't. Right now, we are employing 4 part-time faculty to teach in foreign languages, and we're a part of this, of course, is responding to an accreditation concern that we have. Not necessarily too many part-time faculty, but at least more too much responsibility of regular program presentation on part-time faculty without the kind of direct supervision from people who are actually in the discipline. And, of course, in the case of foreign language, we don't have any full-time faculty. So this would provide us that more complete program control and expertise from someone who's from that discipline.
You know that UAA has been hitting me over the head for the past 2 years to have a faculty member up there, but I know just from a layman's point of view, I would have thought that you have more need for it down here. So I'll have to suffer that. If you get your position, we don't at UAA. I just have to take it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Lyle Hubbard, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Miller, Representative Duggan. I think I'll have a little bit of this water. Bill did so well with it, I wonder if it's water.
Mr. Chairman, you asked Dr. Dimmer about the student loans. I'd like to make a small digression before I get further into the budgetary needs of our School of Fisheries and Science. And the question has come up recently, I suspect because of the financial future of the state and the concerns for that future, that we limit the student loans to Alaska graduates. My education came out of Oregon, and a few years ago I saw the handwriting on the wall and decided I better leave town for a couple of years and let the things cool down a bit, so I decided to go to graduate school. And in March, I hope I'll be standing to defend my doctoral dissertation. And I wouldn't have been able to go if it hadn't been for a student loan that I got from the state. Perhaps in the future we can keep our people home, but they'll still need some money. And I'd like to speak in behalf both of non-high school graduates from Alaska and in terms of high school graduates from Alaska and continuing those state loans.
Well, say on that point there, I wouldn't mind that. You know, that's an easy solution, absolutely easy solution to do. But like in the case of Juneau, where I really had a representative, Dr. Miller, years ago, that it should really specialize in fishery and forestry, and maybe we can attract Oregonians, Washingtonians up here. If it's the best school in the world in fishery, certainly we should encourage them to come north and just enhance your university all the more. So it's not the only immediate future that I feel we ought to care about. It's a long range.
Yes, I think that's true. And in my case, I was in a program that the university didn't offer, so I had to go out. But I hope that in the future, UAJ can supply most of those needs, especially in natural resources.
Thank you.
To get to the point, our school, Fisheries and Science, deals with the natural resources in Southeast Alaska, fisheries, forests, and the people, too. We're designated as a Sea Grant College for the University of Alaska, and we also have some shortcomings in terms of the accreditation report. And our staff, they said, was spread too thin. We've got, it seems like at times, 1,001 courses to teach and only 5 or 6 people available to do the teaching. And we need to change those ratios so that we can ensure
quality and in our classes, and also get on with some basic research to help our fisheries and our forestry and whatever else that we can do. We also need to shore up the program in terms of increases in spending for not only faculty but equipment and other items, so that we can improve the quality of our program. And we also need to reduce to some degree the amount of dependence that we have on part-time faculty, and at the same time try to hire very high quality part-time people. And we're very fortunate in having those kind of people available to us right now. We have a third kind of element in Southeast Alaska that I consider a natural resource, and that's the people that live here in Southeast themselves. Education in science and math is becoming a critical issue. According to latest reports in magazines and things, entry levels for SATs and other kinds of college-level entry exams are falling over the last 10 years, and they're falling seriously to levels where people are becoming concerned about it. The legislature, the national legislature, and people are talking about a new push, a new post-Sputnik, I guess, kind of emphasis in science. And we're working now on programs in elementary and secondary education in terms of training teachers to go out into the bush communities especially and teach science, beginning with elementary levels, so that we can bring the people in the bush up to snuff. When they come to school here, they won't be deprived of an opportunity to go into a profession like a doctor or a research engineer or a fisheries biologist or professional forester of some sort. And right now, I think those people are being deprived of that kind of education. We also have another aspect of our program that's very important. As university grows, we have a lot more people coming into our classes because they have to take what we call general university required courses. And those are courses that everyone has to have in order to get a degree. And that includes 7 hours of science, of which one of those courses, generally two courses, must be a lab course, since that puts an additional strain on our teaching resources and our facilities. In terms of community service, a lot of our course student credit hours are lower division courses, and I've got a course this semester in human anatomy. I've got about 25 or 30 people in the class. We teach those courses simply for the interest of the community, for their benefit, and also for their educational enhancement. We're addressing the needs of our community. So we need, and you can see by our budget request, we need more faculty, we need more staff. As our class sizes increase, we're going to need more graduate students to help us as teaching assistants and research associates. And we're going to need more space, and we're going to need more money for contractual services, including our vessel and maybe so, if we're going to fulfill the obligations we have to the university as it serves the people of Southeast Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any questions, gentlemen?
Thank you very much, sir. Next person we have is Dr. Richard Lee, Dean of JDCC.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here this afternoon. There have been, JDCC is the vocational education arm of the university, strictly vocational industrial arts career education oriented. There have been two major developments with JDCC recently. Both of these have been alluded to before. One is the new building that you see going up on the NC property and waterfront. And the other is the cooperative agreement for articulated vocational education with the high school. The program that is being developed in conjunction with the high school is designed to provide the finest possible vocational and technical education for the Southeast community, optimizing all the best aspects of both the high school program and the community college program for the most economical use of the dollar. We hope to be in the building on the 1st of June and have our first classes start in the fall semester. The one increment that we are asking for is the marine technology instructor, which you alluded to before, Representative Martin. This instructor will be a person who will work both with the high school program and with the community college program. And actually, his assignment will be greater than just marine technology. We're looking for a person who will also be able to operate in the metals area, take advantage of the proposed expansion of the metals lab, primarily in teaching aluminum welding for the construction and repair of aluminum hulls. This person will also have responsibility for the operation of the marine travel lift, which is in the essential equipment request for the new building. The importance of this cooperative agreement is something that must be strongly emphasized. Juneau is being looked at throughout the state as a model of this type of education. And I think it is essential that the university and the high school together make the greatest effort to produce an absolutely first-rate vocational and technical program. I think that this type of cooperation is certainly a coming wave for all of Alaska. I'd like to speak briefly to the capital equipment request that Mr. Keim mentioned earlier. We have rapidly rising across the way there a wonderful building. The equipment that we're requesting is essential to allow the programs to operate in that building. As been said earlier, we will be having a large number of high school students. We will be joining our programs. The equipment that we have now is really inadequate for this new venture. So we feel it's very essential that we get this. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lee. Is there any questions? Doctor, I have just two questions. First on your CIP, this is the vocational shop and equipment, the $800,000?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then a lot of that will be with the high school. One of the problems I'm hoping that we'll be able to solve is for local communities with the community colleges to pick up part of the cost, which was part of the bargain, or the main part of the bargain years ago when community colleges began spreading out. And over the years, the only one that's ever contributed to the local community college was Valdez. And this year here, the city of Valdez has $500,000 committed to its CC program. And since we're going to be pinching a little bit, to say the least, I was wondering if there's any possibility in the fiscal note here for the marine technology teacher that the high school or the local school district might be able to work that out so that, you know, if push comes to shove, maybe under general funds, half of that position could be picked up by the state funds and half of it by the high school. Is there any possibility of them chipping in for that position?
I really can't answer that. It's something that can be looked at. But if you look at the way the cooperative agreement has been arranged, that this a tremendous amount of number of dollars has gone into the remodeling of the vocational facilities on the high school side of the street,
mm-hmm.
which will be shared by the construction and woodworking, drafting, surveying, and related aspects of the community college program. So this is by no means a one-way street as it stands now.
There has been a tremendous amount of effort on and a significant number of dollars expended by both institutions in developing this agreement.
I think Dr. Chancellor Paradise has a comment on that. In ACC and UEA, they have doors and hallways split in half, too. It's a little ridiculous. But thank you, Doctor. Yes, sir. Doctor, Representative Duncan has a question.
I just want to be clear on your equipment request. Representative Martin said that the $800,000, he mentioned $800,000.
Yes.
You are talking about that. Are you also talking about the additional $400,000 or $500,000
yes.
that's needed for?
The $800,000 is to cover the metal shop addition and the equipment for that particular addition. And $500,000 is the essential equipment for the Marine core building, the Marine Technology core building, which is now being built.
The $800,000 is included in the $20 million figure, which Chancellor Paradise mentioned earlier, I believe. $500,000 is an additional then, which, assuming that building is completed June 1st, is necessary for construction on September 1st. Is that the way I understand it?
Yes and no. I would. It is essential for us to be able to provide a high-quality program. We will operate in that building. We will open our doors. Whether we will be able to do so in conditions that we would consider safe for the students or conducive to a very strong student experience in vocational education, I would say probably not.
Okay, I just want to make sure that was clear, that the additional equipment, as I see the breakdown here, for example, $166,000 is for automotive equipment, which
yes.
I assume without that, there's no automotive equipment there. Is that correct?
There will be the automotive equipment we currently have in our shop and some of the automotive equipment currently in the high school shop. Much of that is very old.
that is outdated and is not enough to spread out through the various laboratories. Everything at the high at the community college now is concentrated in one room, and it serves for several aspects of one program, of all the programs. The reverse will be true in the new building.
Let me ask you one other question. Is there a travel lift, as it's called here? Is there presently a travel lift down there for...
No, that is included in that $500,000.
Right. And without that, there is no... I mean, there's no present travel lift that's being used or could be utilized.
There is no travel lift on the site at the moment.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Next gentleman is, not gentleman, Ms. Roberta Stell.
Mm-hmm. Roberta Stell. The positions in the budget that I'll be speaking to are in the School of Business, of which I am dean. We're requesting a computer information systems instructor, or in some terminology, data processing instructor, and instructor technicians. And instructor technicians are paraprofessional positions that would work in our microcomputer laboratory classrooms and our office skills laboratory classrooms. The School of Business now provides traditional programs found in most small colleges. However, we are concentrating on trying to deliver our programs in some non-traditional methods by actually putting students on computer terminals and on the equipment they are learning to use. The increments that our needs of this school revolve around the revolution created by the computer. And our faculty feel strongly that the university must provide the leadership to meet these changing requirements in the business community and in business offices. For many years, we heard the term the automated office, and the automated office is already here and has arrived and may pass us by if we aren't real careful at the university. We'll be teaching very outdated skills. The technological advances in the computer systems and the automation of today's office have created an extra heavy demand from students on our programs and the relevancy of the curriculum. We now have two full-time faculty in the Computer Information Systems program and two in the Office Occupations program. Both programs have well-equipped machine laboratory classrooms, which are now understaffed and consequently underutilized. The two positions in the instructor technicians would enable us to open these laboratory classrooms more hours per week. The microcomputer laboratory equipment and staffing is now under a vocational education grant through the Department of Education. We are currently serving over 450 students in computer information systems alone with two full-time faculty, one instructor technician that just started a few weeks ago, and now we're able to open that microcomputer lab and supervise the computer terminals for the coursework in the introduction classes, which support not only business programs, but all the university programs, up to 40 hours a week. Previously, we were able to open about 4 hours a week, and the other times it was either unsupervised, which is not a good condition, or locked up. And through the vocational education grant money, we have now opened that laboratory this semester for 53 hours a week, and our office skills laboratory with the same kind of staffing pattern, using instructor technicians instead of full faculty in the laboratories at all times. We're now opening that classroom 47 hours a week. The office skills laboratory was opened last semester using the instructor technician, one semester ahead of the microcomputer lab. We did a quick review of surveys to find out how the instructor technician concept was working in the laboratory classroom. At one piece of the information available, which was the number of students who did not complete coursework in those laboratory classrooms. And in fall of 81, there were 16 students with incompletes. And at the end of fall of 82, there were only 3 incompletes, and those 3 were one student. So we felt that the attention that an instructor technician could give, full attention to students there and not having to worry about revising curriculum, other classes that had to be taught in a regular lecture, traditional delivery system that takes time away, was not effective. And this seems to be a good way to go, not only in the delivery of the instruction, but also in utilizing all of the equipment that we do have. We're very proud of the 2 laboratory classrooms and the number of computer terminals that we've been able to provide in our school for student use. And with grant funds, we have added some computer terminals, and with university funds, we've added computer terminals. And in the Ray Center alone, by the fall of 83, we will have 30 computer terminals available for student use. Hopefully that will alleviate the lines at the computer door in the mornings of students trying to get in. The demand for the computer information courses just increases beyond our ability to keep up with it. Last semester we had six sections of 50 students, and we have only a few classrooms that will hold 50 students, so we have to be very greedy about that classroom and reserve it for those large classes. With the opening of the Ray Center, we were able this semester to go to 5 sections of 70 plus students. Some have 74, some 75, some 72. And with the use of the technology that's in that building, of being able to connect computer terminals to video monitors throughout the large classroom, we are now serving over 70 students per section with one instructor. The demand we are experiencing for these courses will not diminish, because such skills are increasingly required to get employment and also to maintain employment in today's business offices. The vocational education grant has enabled us to pioneer not only in offering the laboratory classroom settings, that seems to be a good way to go to get the students hands-on experience, but also to step ahead as far as the other schools that I'm familiar with have gone in getting their students on computers as early and as often as we are with our programs. In the office skills area, we are training on the latest equipment there through grant funds, and our faculty have been very innovative and energetic about seeking grant funds. However, we have reached the point where that will not always be a priority for vocational education money or some other source, and the state funds are now needed to maintain the program at the size it is now operating. I'd be glad to answer any questions on School of Business or those increments.
Sounds like you have quite a program there, very demanding and certainly in the mod spirit.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Thank you.
Ms. Carol Weber, please. That's an outreach program.
I'm Carol Weber, the director of the outreach program at the University of Alaska Juneau. Kind of put a base behind what I'm requesting and going to speak in support of the telecommunications coordinator position. I'd like to explain a little bit about what the university's mission is in regard to outreach. We have, as an integral part of our mission, the responsibility to provide upper division and graduate level post-secondary education throughout Southeast Alaska, and we continue to maintain the community college mission from Hoonah North to Yakutat. With the rising cost of travel, the current faculty workload on and off campus, and the increasing request for post-secondary education in rural Southeast, there is a growing need to supplement on-site delivery of university classes with alternate alternative delivery system. With the multitude of constraints on on-site delivery, we have in the past at best been able to provide courses with little emphasis in program or degree program to meet the mission of our institution and also the needs of our constituents. We must look for new methods of delivery. At this point in time, it seems that the answer lies in
a system that's already available. Alaska currently has in place one of the most sophisticated telecommunications systems available in the United States. To adequately, and might I emphasize, intelligently utilize the network as an educational delivery system, our campus needs a professional staff member who is trained in mediated instruction, instructional design, and who possesses some technical understanding of the area of video and audio production. The person would provide faculty training in the development of courses to be delivered via mediated instruction, assist in the selection of subject areas most conducive to telecommunications as a delivery mode, understand and convey the potential as well as the limitations of the various technologies, assist in marketing the new delivery system with the prospective students in the rural area, and in also training the student in the use of the equipment. And finally, perform evaluations to ensure the maintenance of quality and the achievement of learning objectives. The additional utilization of technology does not promise to reduce the overall cost of outreach education, but it will provide increased access in the rural communities of Alaska to the educational programs already available on our campus. Rural Alaskans are only now, just now, beginning to imagine the opportunities that post-secondary education can provide for them. And only with our intelligent use of telecommunications as a supplement to on-site delivery will they ever hope to realize the full extent of those opportunities. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Beth.
Thank you.
This is Bonita Nelson. President of U.S. USAJ. Mr. President, Madam President.
I'm here to address the student housing problem. I think one of the major problems for students at UAJ is lack of housing. Without a place to live, it's really hard for a student to carry out his education properly. I've been at UAJ for 3 years, and I've known many people who have had difficulty finding and maintaining student housing, as I have. These problems for the students here are unreasonable rent, commuting problems, discrimination problems. You tell people you're a student and they won't rent to you. Students have been forced to live at campgrounds, in tents, in teepees, in campers, in trucks, and on floors for weeks and months. Students are forced to get part-time and full-time jobs to support themselves for housing if you pay $500 a month for housing. Sometimes students do find housing and there's no plumbing or there's no heating and you don't take those for granted anymore. And some students are reluctant to come to Juneau or to continue their education at Juneau because of this problem.
I've gotten letters documenting all these problems. It took me one day to get 25 letters just from people I saw around, which I'll give to you to let you know that we all have these problems. With lack of housing, we're not going to get more students. If we don't get more students, the programs in the university won't expand. And I feel it's really important that we get this money for the housing. That's all.
I can emphasize with your problem, and I know the student's been talking to the committee for 3 years now in the same situation, but even though Anchorage is larger, it has a similar problem.
Yeah,
I live by Natchitoches Park, and I know a lot of students wait until November when the park's closed, and even then cheated on the system and stayed out there. Four nurses, four ladies going to nursing school had to do that in December. So it's similar all over. Hopefully we can come up with a solution to address all three campuses' problems.
Yeah, I hope so.
Thank you, Minister.
I might say, Mr. Chairman, to the group here that you've been extremely sympathetic to Juneau's housing problems. And I am certainly not going to be very grateful for that.
Good luck out, something.
They cost us normal legs. But we're right.
Mr. Demi Parson, please.
Chairman Martin. Representative Miller, Representative Duncan.
My name is Danny Parsons, and I'm a local businessman and member of the City Borough Assembly representing the Valley. I'm here today to speak on behalf of the University of Alaska as a City Borough Assemblyman, and I'm going to read from a prepared statement. City and Borough of Juneau urges the Alaska Legislature to act favorably towards the University of Alaska budget as submitted by the University's Board of Regents. The Assembly was pleased with both the Governor's and the Board of Regents' position that student housing capital improvement project for UAJ was a top priority. The need for accreditation was a thrust behind the Board of Regents' decision in making student housing for the Juneau campus its number one priority for new construction in its statewide system. The primary benefactor of accreditation will be our young people in the state. The biggest stumbling block to date in gaining accredited status for UAJ as a four-year campus has been the lack of housing. I believe accreditation could be secured long before construction project was completed. The accreditation team only needs proof of funding that the funding has been appropriated for the project. You know, there's one community where you can be assured that before asking for construction funds, the university administration, the local municipality, and the community have worked together and have jointly developed facility plans. It has been pleasing to me as an elected official and as a local citizen to see an institution such as UAJ working hard to ensure it is not a separate and isolated entity within our community. On the other hand, the City and Borough Juneau Assembly, recognizing the need to meet the University of Alaska Juneau challenge, established a higher education committee to work with university administration. The Assembly has encouraged our staff to work with UAJ staff in planning facilities towards a joint use concept whenever appropriate. Recently, the Assembly recommended the proposed $20 million local performing arts center be researched with the UAJ staff to see if millions could be saved by tying in the performing arts center with a future UAJ structure so duplication could be avoided and significantly more use of the facility be assured. During the past year, several subcommittees of the Assembly plus City Borough staff have been actively working with university administration to ensure adequate space is available for future growth. Significant changes in attitudes have occurred on the UAJ campus under Dr. Paradise's administration. UAJ, the University of Alaska Juneau, the Juneau Douglas School District, City Borough of Juneau with Parks and Recreation Department have been on record working together to provide a tri-sponsored collection of committee programs utilizing each agency's various physical plants and appropriate personnel. A formal, and this has been mentioned before today, a formal joint agreement between the University of Alaska Juneau and the local school board has been implemented for the purpose of sharing technical service facilities, namely the high school shop and the new marine vocational tech facility. The university utilizes the school district shop equipment and the school district via an overpass across Eagan Expressway to be constructed will be able to utilize UAJ equipment classroom space when the university facility has been completed. Another example of cooperative planning is the joint effort by the University of Alaska Juneau, City and Borough of Juneau, the State Departments of Health and Social Services and Education, and the Juneau Douglas School District to establish a self-improvement, cost-efficient program directed at reducing the dropout rate in our various school districts throughout Southeast. Finally, the Juneau campus could and should be a catalyst for regional services, a higher education institution for all Southeast Alaskans interested in not only a four-year program, but also continuing education. Currently, approximately one out of every eight Juno 8 enrolls annually in a class offered by University of Alaska Juno. In summary, the Assembly and the city and the Juno community solidly support the University of Alaska Juno continuing to play its valuable role in our community. It deserves legislative support for the budget as submitted by the Board of Regents, both the maintenance and operations budget and the capital budget. The University of Alaska Juno is a positive force, an asset to Juno and Southeast that is vibrant, enriching, constructive, and exciting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bosnack. I appreciate your support for UAJ. I'm really jealous because in Anchorage, as far as our assembly people and the mayor, it just seemed to be nil.
Close to you guys because it's very advantageous for the entire community if we do.
No, Fairbanks is a very vital force up there with the chamber and the city working with the legislators too. And maybe someday Anchorage will wake up and realize what a value it is to the city. But one thing I have noticed that on the university housing situation that suddenly seemed to have been changed, and I just throw this out to the two representatives, maybe Dr. Paradise can help us later with an answer, and that is that tentatively it seemed like the Senate bill has been swung so that the $11.5 million goes to Fairbanks because they said they had the planning already done. And that UAA and UAJ will get $1 million for planning money next year. I've always thought that was not quite logical. We know what a house looks like. We know what the drawings were. You pretty well know what you need. And while we could not put some money in the supplemental appropriation right now and allow both those campuses to draw up what they need and then put the money in for the 84 bucket. Food for thought. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mr.